Hey friends, it's been a little bit since we did a podcast, and I apologize. Work has changed for me, and it's become far more difficult to get on here on a regular basis. But today I feel like, I think it's necessary for me to get on here and have a discussion about a topic that came up not too long ago. See, on Easter I posted a response to a video that I saw of Tim Kennedy. If you don't know who that is, he's a MMA fighter and former special operator. I don't know him personally or anything like that, but he had posted on Instagram a picture of him packing a firearm to church for Easter. And of course, I read the comments, and a lot of those comments were pretty negative toward packing a gun to church. And so that really made me... Well, it was kind of an eye-opener for me. I didn't realize that there were so many people who were anti-gun, going to church, and using the Bible as a way to justify their hatred for guns. Now, this isn't a podcast telling you that you need to be pro-gun or anything like that, but what I am doing is, especially as a police officer, I want you to know, especially if there's another police officer, I want them to know that packing a gun and being a protector does not go against my faith, and it shouldn't go against your faith if you're a believer in Christ. So I want to make that abundantly clear today. And I think I'm actually going to break this up into a few segments. That way it'll give you a little more chew on in a shorter amount of time. I don't think it takes an hour-long discussion to make a few points on this topic. So I'm going to spread this out just a little bit. And today I'm going to start with a story out of Genesis here. We'll get into the New Testament later, because a lot of the arguments is people who are saying that God of the Old Testament is different than God of the New Testament, which just is not true. God does not change. His word says so. Even Job, one of Job's buddies, pointed that out. God does not change, ever. But let's start this off with a quick prayer so that we bring the Holy Spirit into this. Father, please be with us as we get into your word, Lord, and show us truth. And Lord, if there's anything that you want to be heard, please speak it today. Lord, I don't want any of the glory to be mine. I just want your truth to be known. So please help us to understand your word and to apply it appropriately. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So let's start Genesis chapter 14. We have this interesting story how Lot, before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, see, Lot was living in Sodom, and they were invaded. Sodom was invaded, and Lot and his family, they were taken captive, which was pretty common in those days. See, now it's a whole lot of killing. There's not a ton of captivity outside of, I take that back. There's plenty of captivity, but a lot of it has to do with just soldiers, right? Being a soldier who's taken captive. But in these days, they would take anybody. It was considered the spoils of war to walk away with a handful of slaves. And so Abraham, he heard about this, and this is what it says. Now, when Abraham heard that his brother, which was actually his nephew, but he's called his brother here, was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Now, let's pause here for a second for just another small point here. Wealth, I've heard that, you know, if you're a believer and you're really truly dedicated to the Lord, that wealth is not something that you should have, that you should be poor like Jesus was. Well, here's a guy, Abraham, or Abram, as he's called right here, who's incredibly wealthy, so wealthy that he was able to arm 318 men and have them trained for war. Anyway, so it says he divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. Now let's go on here just a little bit. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer. I know I butchered that one, but I don't think he cares. And the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. So there's so much we could talk about with this, with Melchizedek, with the bread and the wine. It's so symbolic of Jesus Christ here. But let's just suffice it to say, God blessed Abraham going out and defeating his enemies in order to retrieve his nephew and his nephew's family. God blessed him. And as proof of that, not only did he come back with all of his men, but he also says here, blessed be Abraham of God Most High. See, so God blessed this warrior spirit, this willingness to go out and kill the enemy, to defeat evil. Now, I don't see how it can be any clearer that whether it's a sword or a sickle or a rock, as in David's case, or with our case, a firearm, I don't see any difference there. It's the mindset, it's the protector mindset that's incredibly important, and I think that God blesses that. Now, in case you might be saying, well, Abraham went and did that on his own. He didn't really seek God before that. So how can you say that God blessed that? Okay, so he blessed it after the fact instead of before. Whatever. Let's move on to a second story here, and we'll close with this one, a little discussion. But I want to talk about a time that David went on the attack. Now, not everything that David did was ordained by God. Not everything that he did was righteous and good, obviously. He committed murder. He slept with a married woman, murdered her husband. Okay, right? David had his faults. So do you and I. But here's the deal. Here in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, David's family, as well as all of his buddies, his little clan, his group of folks that had gathered around David, their families were attacked at Ziklag. Again, captives were taken. And these guys were starting to turn against David. But let's read it from verse 6 here. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Now the ephod was this, it was kind of like a plate. It was worn by the high priest, and it had 12 stones on it. And God would answer a prayer or a question using those stones in different sequences. And that was the answer that David got. So David first sought the Lord and asked him, hey, is it your will that I go and do this thing? And God is not ignorant. He knew that it was going to be shedding. There was going to be shedding of blood, right? And he still told David, yes, it's my will that you go and do this thing, because innocents have been taken and righteousness needs to be doled out. Judgment needed to be doled out. And David was chosen as the instrument to make that happen. Whether it was, again, sword, spear, sickle, rock, or firearm, God chose to use David as his instrument to go and kill. And don't be fooled, there is a time to kill. We'll talk about that later on, but Solomon said it. There's a time to take life, for sure. Now let's kind of get to the conclusion of this story here. Then David attacked them from twilight until evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Now, I know it says two wives in there. That was not something that David sought the Lord about either. He just took a second wife. Okay, so just because I'm using this story to demonstrate a point doesn't mean the entire story is right. But having said that, as a protector, as one who puts on the uniform and goes out and chooses the career of protecting citizens, I believe that it's fully God's will that he is fully on board with me carrying a firearm and, if necessary, using that firearm. Now, I haven't had to yet, and deadly force is something that we can talk about here just a little bit. I have used deadly force before in my career, and I have zero regret about it. It was effective in stopping a threat from hurting more people, and I believe that was God who put me in that situation, in that place, at that time for just that reason. But this argument against firearms and how Jesus never used a sword, how Jesus died for his faith, and how Paul died for his faith, Peter died for his faith. Yeah, they died for their faith. They weren't being weak. They were dying for their faith. They were dying for the Lord. See, there's a big difference between dying for the Lord and choosing not to defend, say, in a school shooting, a group of kids just being one of the victims. See, if I have the ability to save life while someone else is trying to take it, I think that it is our duty, especially as men, as police officers, especially, to limit the loss of life, especially when combating evil. It's incredibly important that we do that. How did Uvalde go over? Not well, right? It was because there were men with the ability to preserve life by taking one life who didn't carry out that duty. That was something that should have been done, but it wasn't. All right, so just think about that one particular situation for now. And we'll get back with you again soon with part two. We'll have some more biblical knowledge for you. In the meantime, if you like the shirt, please go and support my buddies over at Dangerous But Good. They gave me a discount code to pass along to you. It's all caps, just God bless, one word. Also, my buddies over at Stash Salt have been awesome to me. And same discount code if you want to get something over there. They have some pretty awesome men's grooming products. And they help support a whole lot of charities. It's pretty neat. Aside from that, I know this has been a short one. Hopefully, you haven't had to stare at my ugly face for too long. If you are watching this on YouTube and you just can't stand to look at me anymore, that's fine. I get it. I totally get that. We're also on Spotify. We're on iTunes. Just about any podcast platform that you can think of, we're on there. So you can listen instead of having to watch my ugly face. As far as my terrible voice, I can't really do anything about that. But anyway, we'll see you soon, and God bless.